revelation, understanding of the Word of God as it comes unto us, and that our hearts be open and to apply them according to the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Before I go into, I want to read 2 Corinthians instead. 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It's a simple known scripture. I believe I touched on it about a week ago or so. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want to touch just a little bit on this scripture, because I want us to expose their wickedness of the enemy in our lives. The Word of God is telling us that our light affliction. Now, we look at it and we say, light. Oh my goodness. What I'm facing is overweighing me. I can't even move a step because it's that heavy. But the Bible is telling us that it is light. How do I understand that it is light? It is light because it is not us. It's not for us to carry it. Jesus said, my burden is light. So what we call on ourselves as affliction, the Bible is telling you and I that it is only for a moment. That means it's only for a season. Amen? It's only for a season. Why is it only for a season? It's because what we are facing, even though it could be for our own cause, or if I say our own cause, that means that we drifted off the path in which the Lord has placed us on, or we have opened the door for the enemy to attack. And it could also be a way of the Lord wakening us up or strengthening us. But either way, as a child of the living God, you are going to end up in glorious time at the end. He says it's but for a moment. Amen? And it's only for a moment because you are coming out of it. You are coming out of it. And as you are coming out of it, it's working for you, to strengthen you, that it will bring an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So now you feel like the affliction that is on you is so heavy, but allowing the Lord to carry your weight, it becomes light. And when you have gone through it for a season, it worketh more for you in a way where when you come out of it, now you have an eternal weight of glory, which you will not have enough room to receive it. So at the end, you are prospering, you are joyful, things are working in your favor, and then you start asking questions. Don't we like complaining, whether it is good or bad? We still complain anyway. Things start happening great for you, but oh Lord, what did I do to deserve it? And yeah, this and that. The Lord said, I'm blessing you. You know, you are complaining. Up to the point where you don't have enough room to receive it. So we have to learn whatever we are facing. We face things, yes. But everything that we face, we should not look at it as a woe is me, but rather move forward in whatever it is, trusting God. Because it is only for a moment. So we are trusting God to bring us out. Remember, the three Hebrew men, as much as they trusted God, as much as they served God with all their hearts and everything else, they still went through the fiery furnace. Daniel, as much as he loved God, pray every day, three times a day, yet still, he was still put in the lion's den. But at the end, the glory was eternal. The enemy lies to believers, and that our mindset, instead of being watchers, our mindset drifts to our situations. It's a trick. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm showing you here in the scriptures. But before that, I want you to know what my title is. My title for this message is, the battle is not physical. The battle is not physical. So we know where we are going to get it from. Join me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It is clear. It reads like this. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you have come to understand what you are facing, it does not matter, even if you are not a believer, it's still the same. The difference between a believer and non-believer is a believer has the tools. But in this world that we live in, there is no battle that we face, even when we see it in the physical realm. It's still not physical. You'll hear tornadoes happening here, tsunami over there. You will hear a crime over here and accidents over there. All these are spiritual. When the kids are acting up and giving you a headache, family members acting up, seems like all walls are just crumpling you into a confined space. All these things are spiritual battles. The battle is not physical. The realm of our minds are on a level of physical. It's on the level of physical. So we are more to get angry at things that are happening physically. We have not trained ourselves to be actually angry at things spiritually. But we are easily to be angry at things physically. So when we will even go onto our knees to pray for certain things, we have already been defeated. Because the first mindset was physical. If someone will say something or do something to me, as a child of the living God, if I have not allowed the ministry of the Holy Ghost in me, the first reaction is to be angry at that physical act. Then later on, I might go into my closet and then I'll start praying. Lord, you know what I'm facing. Get a hold of this person. Get a hold of that person. And my state of anger from physical, I'm taking it into the closet. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, that battle was never spiritual. It's still in the physical realm. I'm trying to give us some keys. This is a good learning. Because the Bible says that the enemy came to what? Steal. To kill and to destroy. What is he stealing? He's going to steal every knowledge that you need to know. Because he knows when you have that knowledge, he's defeated. He's done. Don't play games with the enemy, thinking by quoting few words here and there, going to do it. If you don't have the knowledge of what you are quoting, forget it. You see how it's been. We get angry at physical and then we take it into the closet. But if we allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost to minister to us, listen, the Bible says to be slow to speak. Is that right? The Bible says to be slow to speak and quick to what? That's right. So we have to allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost first in our lives. So when things, for example, my example here, start happening to you, you are in a place of allowing the Holy Ghost to minister to you. Let the opponent yap going on. Let him do it. And you stand back and let the Holy Ghost minister to you. You will come to understand that, now I understand. You see, it's this person is not the one I'm against now. You see what is happening here. But if you don't allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you are going to be mad at that person. And then you want to take it into the closet. No. No. Remember, you just got defeated right away because you were in the natural, the physical. You were already defeated. Allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost to minister to you. Let them talk. Let them yap. Anything that let them allow this. Listen, be with the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Because when you have come to that point, you are going to have compassion for the one that is against you. Yes. It's just a whole different dimension. Amen. And do you know what that is called? That is called Christ-like. Amen. Yes, that's called Christ-like. That is where you get to know that the fruit of the Spirit is arising up in you. The Bible says that I sought for a man. Is that right? Yes. So, if you are facing and they are making you angry, and you stand there angry, who gonna stand in the gap? This person against you is being attacked by demons to get to you. So this person needs help. But because you are not being there for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to minister to you, now you are against this poor person that is being tormented by demons. So you, being Christ-like, what you gonna do? What's your work there? What are you supposed to do? Come against them? Or the one behind them? This is a powerful message the Lord has given us. And if, I'm telling you, you think that the devil doesn't know what is coming? He knows. He knows. Yes, he knows. And I am so open to grab everything that the Holy Ghost wants to give it to me. Because I want to expose him like never before. What does the Bible tell us? Right here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Period. Well, not period. Come on. I want us to grab a hold on to this scripture right here. That way, from this day on, listen, this is a doorway that the enemy has opened that he uses a lot. He uses a lot to get the saints. I want us to learn to close that door. You will be a changed believer. You will see what starts happening unto you. You will see the things that you that the Holy Ghost start revealing to you. They might be attacking you, and tears even will start coming down to your eyes, and they think that they have got you, but what they don't know is you have got them, because compassion is flowing through you, and you feel sorry for them. So now, when you will enter into your closet, you are not entering into your closet angry at that person. You are entering your closet with love. Do you understand that? You are entering your closet with love. And with that love, that compassionate love dealing with you, when you enter that closet and pray with them, you know how effective that prayer is. We wonder why sometimes when things like that come against us and we pray, there's no answer. Because that prayer was not an effectual, fervent. It was not. Because we were first defeated. We were first defeated. It's hard to swallow, but it's true. When you will get physically angry, you are already defeated, because that is the motive of the enemy already. You understand? The purpose of the enemy using that individual attacking you is that you will fail. So that anger that came in, although, see, the blindness that we have is, I'm a child of God, so when I'm angry, I start, it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. If it is okay, why would the devil do it? Hmm. You think for 1 minute that the devil is going to do something to you that he will not have victory over you? No way. No way. He has planned it. He knows what tickles you the most. And he will use it. If anybody, I know the Bible says, to be angry but not overnight or such and such. But that's not what he's talking about now. Because we have made this a permanent thing. We live by it. We live on it. But the secret, we have not seen it. We haven't found that secret yet. And the secret, we know it today. The battle is not physical. Now, I'm not going to go to verse 13 because that's another whole. But this point here, I just want us to understand this very door. I want us to understand and learn to close and shut it. Put a few, you know how in New York the doors, how they put all kinds of locks on there? Yeah, they got every size of padlocks. I mean, let's find that door here, lock it up just like that and throw away the key. We will be blessed. I'm telling you. Now, I want us to turn quickly to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I'll come back to this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. 14, 22. I'm going to read it quickly because there's a point I want to make here. It reads like this: And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. I'm reading from 14. I'm reading 14:14. That's what it is. Okay, sorry about that. Maybe that's where I need to start. All right. 14:22. Let's get there, because there's just a point I want to make there. And it says, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. So I'm going to start from where now the ship is in the midst of the sea, right? And according to the word of God, was a sea calm. Very rough. Does it feel like that in your life? Yes. Feels like that in your life, right? You got saved. Now, we call our time of being believers in the midst of the sea. Because we are in the midst, we are in the middle. of our serving the Lord from the time we got saved, right? So, being in there, you will get to understand that throughout the course of being a child of God, there's wind and there's the ocean having waves in your life as a believer. Now, as much as this was going on, this is what had happened then in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, small s. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So regardless of the turmoil and all the calamities of your life as a believer, we have to understand that the Lord is always in the midst of us. And so he then encouraged you and I and say, no matter what you are facing, remember in the beginning, I gave us a few examples of coming from the Bible of the three Hebrew men and also Daniel. Now we compare to this as the disciples were in the midst of the sea with the waves and all the rough wind and everything, yet still the Lord was in the midst of them so that he called to you and I and say, what? Be of what? Good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, when we will face things, we will always give glory to the enemy. We have to learn to stop that. We have to learn to stop giving glory to the enemy. Because what we have understood of saying the enemy did it, or the enemy's doing this or doing that or doing that, as much as we know that it is true, we still do not say those things because that glorifies him. That is his motive, that is his purpose, that is what he wants. So every time we complain that the enemy did this or doing this and this and put this on me and this and this and that, he gets happy about it. That's the way he get glorified. Amen. Just as when great things happen, we praise the Lord and glorify God. When bad things happen and we complain and say the devil did it, that is how he gets glorified. So we have to stop giving him all the glory. But the Lord says, it is I. In other words, I'm in your midst, regardless of what is going on, regardless of what you are facing. I'm right here. Amen. So it has nothing to do with having to give glory to the enemy. Know one thing, that the Lord is with you. And he give us this command not to be afraid. Now I'm trying to get to where I want us to look at concerning the battle is not physical. 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Most of us will want to walk on a solid ground. That is the only time we feel comfortable. But this is another step, a real great step of faith to take. Amen. I'm not saying go and walk on water. But what I'm saying is, whatever that you face, when you are trusting God, you are walking on water. Whatever you are facing, when you are trusting God, you are walking on water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now let me draw my key point here. But when he saw, everybody say he saw. The problem is what we see. The problem is what we see. Remember, I told you, when someone is coming against you, there is something that you need to do. You need to be, to learn to be what? Quiet and quick to what?
Yes.
That's right. Not quick to hear what is coming out of their mouth unto the Spirit of God. That is what you need to be quick to hear. Now, when these words are coming at you, when these words are coming at you, you are there to listen to the Spirit of God. What says the Spirit? So as you're standing there, the Spirit of God is then revealing unto you who is behind the scenes that is having this person come at you. The problem is what we see. But because we are in a place of not allowing the ministry of the Holy Ghost, this is what we see. That person. You see that? That person that is yelling at me, that is coming against me, that's the only one I see. And because of that, we end up failing. We fail. Now, the Bible says here, but when he saw the wind boisterous. Now, we asked the question in the beginning, was the waves and the wind calm when he stepped out of the ship? Was it? No. It was still the same. Nothing had changed. But the problem is the gazing of where his eyes was on was what kept him on the water. When you are gazing on the one you are seeing physically, you will drown. But when you gaze on the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you will walk on water. This is a powerful statement. Right now, Peter now saw how the wind was rough all around about him. Probably went all even almost to where Jesus was. Walked on what? Isn't that what the Bible says? He walked on water. Here then, until he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, we must understand one thing, that as much as we are believers, the devil doesn't care. Understand this. Because the mentality of what we have heard over time has brainwashed believers today to the point where they have lost the knowledge of the Word of God, in understanding what it is to be done and just flowing through. If you ask warlocks and witches and all that, they will tell you they go into their church. Not because there is no anointing. No. No. Remember, you can have an anointing on you. You can have an anointing on you. That doesn't mean the devil cannot be around you. I want that to be clear. Sometimes you will have a Bible on your desk or your nightstand. You will have anointing oil right there. Have everything you think that will keep the enemy away. I guarantee you he's right there. The only difference is that if there's no door open, he can't touch you. But he is right there. That is why they come into the church, seeking whom they may devour. Yeah. We have to understand this, that the enemy has nothing. I mean, he's not afraid because you are anointed. What he's afraid of is what you can do with the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you can do with the anointing. So you can be anointed. That doesn't mean he's afraid of you. It comes down to what he knows or what you know to do with the anointing. The knowledge. I can be anointed. And if I don't have discernment, demons can come in here and I won't sense a thing. It's the knowledge you have of the anointing that you have is what brings result. I can call upon the name of Jesus and quote words. If I don't have the knowledge of what the word does, it means nothing. This warfare is to take an advantage of, and is to take it by force. And we have to take it by force, or by we take the advantage of the forces of the spirit allocated to us. So, number one, we have three points in which we have to learn to use and take it by force. The first one is the word. We understand that the word is Christ, but what I'm talking about is the knowledge of the word. We have to understand the word. And number two is the force of the blood. We have to understand what the blood does. Not going by what we've heard. But understand what it does. What is the blood to you? And then the third one is the name of Jesus. How do you understand the force of the name of Jesus? We sing a song by saying that there is power in the name of Jesus. How do you understand that? The knowledge you have on that is where the power is. Not just by quoting it. The Lord had given me this message, and I have been through something overnight. With the church, when we were praying, I think it was around here and there, and we all started going in tongues. And I started going in tongues and praying in the spirit. You would think for 1 minute that the enemy ran off. No, I felt the presence of the enemy right there. And that woke me up. Just to let you know that it has to come with understanding. We don't need to be phony believers.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And we know this scripture. Hosea 4:6, I believe it is. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. It's true. It's all around, you see. We will grab our Bible, get dressed, and go to church. But yes, so we have no idea having the knowledge of Him. Having the knowledge of Him, the authority, the power, the blood is what brings you to a place of power. There are two scenes in the Bible anywhere when I compare, it makes sense to me. That even, you know, just being a believer does not necessarily mean you've got it. Okay? That just being a believer doesn't necessarily mean you've got it. What do I mean by that? Remember, we talked about those groups that went and started casting demons in the name of Jesus and all that, and the disciples were complaining to Jesus. And Jesus said, well, if they are not against us, they are for us. Isn't that what he said? And now you have also the disciples that are at one point they could not cast out the demons from this boy. So tell me, what is the difference here? I use that in what we face today as believers. Being a believer does not necessarily mean you've got it. You have to know it in order to have it. You can't just have it. That is what I'm talking about. How over time the way is being preached to us because you were a child of God. Oh, you've got it. That's a lie. You are a candidate to have it. You are in a position to have it. But you need to get it. Paul asked the church or the people that received Christ and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That means you have to get it. Is that right? Yes. It's not something that just come on you just because you are saved. Or just because you are a believer. You should have it as a believer. But do we have it? Is the question. So we have the word. You have to understand the forces of the word. You have to understand the forces of the blood. You have to understand the forces of the name Jesus. So that when I quote the word, I understand what the power of the word. Because why? Again, it's the knowledge you have of the word. It's not because you quote the word. Satan is not afraid just because you quote the word. But he's afraid of what you know of what you quote. We will see that all these are the mysteries to enforce. They are the mysteries to enforce. You cannot cast out demons. You cannot come against the enemy if you do not have an understanding of these tools. Now, we have to also understand this, that quickly in John chapter 1 verse 5 tells us this, that let me open it quickly so we will understand what he's saying. John 1 5 reads like this. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Mm-hmm. I want you to hear this very carefully. "And the light shineth in darkness." The light did not, in other words, got lit in the darkness. I want us to make sure that we understand that. The light did not get lit in the darkness. The Bible says that it shineth in the darkness. That means that the light was still there. Do you understand? So to be able to have the light shine is up to you, the individual. We talked about how we keep our light, our lamp trim and light shining. By what? Filling our lamp with what? Oil. So if your light is in the darkness and is being dimmed, the light then and the darkness then overtake the light. But when the light keeps shining, the darkness cannot comprehend it. Our purpose of engaging these things to the is to basically create a physical fight. And when we do that, we become defeated, right? All the time in our lives as believers, that's what we have been engaged to, fighting physically. So then we are defeated from the beginning, and it doesn't end up very well when we go into our closet. This is the day we need to swap it around. This is the day we switch all those things around. You know, in ending, there are basically like seven gospels that Jesus, you know, left to the church. I'm not going to go through all of that. But these two in other words, there's only one basically nowadays that you hear most of the time, which is the salvation messages. Okay? That is what we hear most of the time. But there is this gospel that is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is where the keys of the kingdom is revealed. Okay? The gospel of the message of salvation is the beginning of it all. But after that comes the gospel of the kingdom, because the mysteries of the kingdom must be revealed to the saints. Okay? But it seems to be stopped after the message of salvation. And this is where the Lord is bringing his people to come to understanding, because without that, we are basically defeated. We're just roaming around here, and we are not basically fit for the Lord to use us in full capacity, because we don't have the knowledge of him. All we know is God is good. All we know is, because I'm saved, God will do this, and God will do that, and God will protect me. Great, that's all good and everything. But there are more to it than that. What has he asked you to do? Everything that he had asked you to do, he had already prepared the tools for you and I. But the tools will depend on you and I to grab a hold on or to put them on. Is that what it says in Ephesians chapter 13? Is that what it says? 6 verse 13. Therefore, put on the what? That's right. The whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, if it were to be receiving salvation and that armor comes automatically on you, there's no need to put them on. This is where the gospel of the kingdom is, because that is where the mysteries are revealed. And when mysteries are revealed unto us, we come to a place of understanding the word of God, the knowledge of God, understanding God and everything else that he's doing in our lives. So then it will make sense to us and know how to put on and properly put on the whole armor of God. If I don't have those knowledge, if I don't have understanding, and you are telling me and preaching to me to put on the whole armor of God, I'm going to ask you a question. How do I put it on? How do I put it on? And most of what I hear is, oh, trust in the Lord. Is that enough knowledge for me? No. We must come to understanding. Because the word of God for us here is not something to confuse. It's something to have, bring you to understanding. Because when you understand, this is where the power of his word comes in. So you and I have to come to a place to know the keys of the kingdom. Where and how we engage these mysteries, okay, to manifest that which the Lord had finished on the cross. The question I will ask every believer around the globe will be, have you come to a place of exercising the full mystery of the kingdom of God? Because for as far as I know, the answer is no. And it's declining more and more. Because why? There is one thing that I know, that the church has become. And as hard as it is for us to get back into it, which we are, this is what the church has become. The church has become a place where I go to receive. What do I receive? the things I ask the Lord for, the things that will make me happy, the things that will make my life easier concerning the way I'm living. But that is not what it's all about now. Especially when you have been in the ministry for a long time. What our positions to be is having to know the mysteries of the kingdom and having to be able to perform and manifest the power and what the Lord has called us to be. Amen. Any and anyone can go and minister and anyone all that. But the question is, where is the manifestation of these mysteries that is being revealed? Where are they? Because the church are not paying close attention, and because the church are not engaging with these mysteries that is being revealed unto the saints, they have wicked, wicked people out there using divination spirit, deceiving the people of God. Deceive. How do I know that? It's because when you read throughout the Bible, most of the time, the Lord is always going to talk to you in a certain way. It has nothing to do with 2 years ago you did this and did that and did that. That's divination. They are retrieving things from the past. And then they'll gather all together and form something for the future. That's divination. So, why do they deceive people like that? The fact that they're able to retrieve your past, when they tell you, yes, it's true, yes, it's true, yes, it's true, they buy you right there. You buy into their tricks. Because everything they tell you of the past is true. Of course, the enemy can dig into your past. That's why he come and attack you. That's why he bring things that you are trying to stay away from back to you. Because he knows your past. He doesn't know your future. No. But how the divination spirit does, or what they do, is gather the past and create or form something that will make sense to you as the future. Without discernment, you are not going to be able to catch them, because they have bought you already. Discernment is in the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen? And this is where we are heading to. And I know the Lord God is going to build us up according to his will. Amen? And to bring unto his people what he has purposed in the first place. Hallelujah. We will continue standing. We will continue moving for the Lord according to his spirit. Amen. And allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost to impart not only in this place, but in individual. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. So the key point today is that you are going to learn to allow the ministry of the Holy Ghost to be imparted in you. And every time someone will come to you with anything at all that will make you angry or snap and stuff like that, remember, when you snap, the enemy has won at that moment. Amen. But rather be slow to speak, quick to hear. Amen. What the Spirit is saying unto the church. And that you will know and exercise the compassionate love that Christ has for his people and unto all men. Amen. That we can go into our closet, pray for the individuals. Amen. And that our prayers will be effective and move Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many of you are happy?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you that are watching, I pray that the Lord God will have blessed you today. It might be a different type of message hearing, but I'm telling you, this is a message that the Lord God is bringing forth to build up his people, that he will bring you to that place in which he had already called you to be. Hallelujah. Haven't you been tired and of where you've been and where you stand so far as a believer? Now I tell you, hear the voice of the Spirit of God, and he will lead you according to the will of God. God bless you. Until next.